Hello, everybody out there in Internet Radio Land. This is Blake Ruby from San Antonio. How are you today? How was your week? I'm doing okay, doing all right. Today's a good day. What's been going on in my life? Well, I'll tell you a little bit. Over this last week, teleworking continued, and we have, in my branch, we have these two different areas. I'm going to be going from one to the other. I won't get into the details. You wouldn't understand, and it might take too long anyway. So all kinds of little things that I make adjustments to in my life to try to feel better. You know, I want to feel good. I want to be happy, you know, day by day. And so sometimes there's so many different facets of our life that we can change, modify in order to do that, you know. And I've talked about this on previous shows. I don't like referencing other people because I don't want to offend anyone, but I will say in my own life, I do certain things I've mentioned before, you know. Every aspect of our lives we have to take into consideration when we're trying to be the best we can be, you know, to be a perfect human being, to improve ourselves in all areas. In other words, to evolve, develop spiritually. And just one little thing about, I'll tell you about, when I have spare time, I'll go upstairs and my wife is in the bedroom, you know, and I'll watch television. I've got this chair that I've been watching television on. And it's like one of these game chairs that you play cards, you know, around the table. Not too comfortable. After a while, when you've been watching television for a few hours, you know, the rear end starts to hurt. It's the same with everybody. Some people have more padded rear end. Mine's not that padded. But suffice it to say, I do get tired of watching television because the bottom and the back start to hurt. So I changed. I got this other chair, which had been back in the closet all the time. I started using it, and it feels a lot better. And I feel better as a result. And it's got wheels on it, too. The other one didn't, so when my wife had to go to the bathroom, she had to walk around me. I'd have to scoot over to the side, you know, because it's not a lot of room to get by. Just little things like that, little changes, you know, doing things differently, doing things better in a better way. And I'll talk about that, how that applies to other things we're going to talk about. And not much else going on other than that, as far as changes in my life, about the same. I went to track today. I did, walked around a lap, and then I was doing 220-meter half-a-lap runs, half-a-lap walks. I like that. Those, you run at about 50-75% power, and feels pretty good. You know, it's not a sprint, but also you open up the running gate, you know, and that's good for the back, I think. And running on the track, too, for me, I found, although I will run around the neighborhood, like during the work week, and I don't have time to drive to the track, I've got time to do maybe 10 or 15 minutes around the neighborhood, so what I've been doing last week, what I was doing was same thing, about a little walk, warm up, and then run for 200 meters and walk for 200 meters. And that's one of my favorite types of exercise. I've also done miles. You know, I'm getting too old now to be running multiple miles, 2, 3, 4 miles. So I've been doing a lot of 1 miles in the recent past. But also I'll do a lap, like walk a lap, run a lap, walk a lap, run a lap. And that's pretty good. That gets me going a little bit faster than if I was doing a 1 mile run. You know, you have to pace yourself so you can last the mile. Also, I do sprints. I've done sprints, a lot of sprints over the last few years. 100-meter sprints. I've done hundreds of them, really, to tell you the truth. And that's good in a way when you can push your body all the way to the limit like that and just feel the wind, air blowing past your face as you're pushing your body as hard as it will go, you know, and the coordination is there. And afterwards, it feels good. You're kind of like an automatic and you're walking around. Hey, this is great, you know. I know I can run fast, yeah. But it's also kind of hard in the body, and it's got a of all the impact, too, it's got the greatest impact from what I found, what I read on the internet when you sprint. It's kind of like take Usain Bolt, for example, when he was sprinting, like in the Olympics and or the World Championships. And the force of your, it's like you put eight times your own body weight down when you're sprinting in some parts of the sprint, you know, a 100-meter sprint. Isn't that amazing? Eight times? Anyway, so another thing I did last week was watch the Democratic National Convention. Well, there's a lot of beautiful people out there, for sure, you know, Americans, and they're all wanting a change. They say Mr. Trump is taking us down the wrong road. Well, let me tell you some thoughts of mine on that. I want to try to be a uniter, you know, since it seems like they don't know how to unite either the Republicans or the Democrats. I'm going to be a uniter, and I ask you, please, to say, yeah, because we want our country back, you know, and if the politicians can't do it, we have to help them, you know. Where is your love? Love. You know, I think the situation where we've got in today, hate has brought us in here so far. You know, hate has contributed to where we are today, but love is going to bust us out. Love is going to help us get to where we need to be. We can be loving towards each other. You know, we are Americans, whether Democrat or Republican. And I've heard some people say, you know, oh, this going on is just too much, and I don't even want to vote. You know, I'm not going to vote. And I've thought about it myself. I talked to my son and said, Dad, I'm going to vote for Jesus of Nazareth when it comes time to vote in November, and Mary Magdalene as the VP. Well, of course, that's ridiculous. You know, it's no longer walking this earth, neither is she. But the point is, we're kind of disappointed with the Democrats and Republicans, you know, being so bitterly divided. And I won't say it's just the Republicans' fault. You know, Mr. Trump, you don't understand about him. Here's a man, a successful businessman. Not always, you know, he went through a share of bankruptcies, but, you know, he's worth about $10 billion, so that speaks a lot for itself, you know. And so he wanted to try to help make America better, you know, mainly with the economy. He was seeing that a lot of countries in the world were taking advantage of the United States, and that's one of the reasons he was voted in back in 2016. So what happens when he gets into power? The first thing they accuse him of is collusion with the Russians. Now, I don't know. I don't have any proof. I've been hearing, I've been reading about it. But it seems to me, and I was almost 2 years before the Mueller investigation was completed, and it seems like maybe he didn't ask the Russians to help him. Did he really need help to beat Hillary Clinton? It seems like they would have done that with or without his help. I believe, really, in my opinion, that the Russians would have been more likely to have, and they did. Someone hacked the DNC servers, you know, back then. And you know what Hillary, with her email stuff, I don't want to go down there. But suffice it to say that I would have been more likely to believe that the Russians would have tried to, and maybe not support Mr. Trump, but to not support Ms. Clinton, if you know what I mean, because I heard it from Putin's mouth himself all those years ago when he said, given the choice, I think we would prefer someone other than Hillary Clinton. Now, at that time, when I heard that, they were still, the Republican candidates were still vying for the nomination of Republican nominee for president. So what he meant was that hey, if Hillary Clinton goes into power, if she becomes president, then it's possible that we could go to war with the United States. And I don't know. I heard a lot of nasty rhetoric out there by politicians. You know, we got to be tough with Russia. Do you realize that they have the capability to destroy the United States of America by pushing a button? And you want to piss them off? Are you? It's okay. I understand. You know, we want to try to work our way through these situations intelligently, logically. You know, we ought to get along with the Russians, you know, just because they beat us into space all those years ago. And by the way, we did land the first man on the moon, so touche. But, you know, we compete with them in the Olympics. We have in the past. They're on the International Space Station, you know, along with Americans. In the words of the famous Rodney King, why can't we just get along? And Mr. Trump has made some steps in that direction. Yeah, Mr. Putin, I understand you're doing some mean things to your people, human rights violations, but can't we be friends? Is there some way we could be friends? I'm tired of being enemies with anybody. You know, how about you? Tired of being enemies. Why can't we be friends? You know, because it seems like that's the road we need to go on so as not to get to mutual destruction, my friends out there listening. Unless you're someone, I won't say that. But we got to have more love. It's got to be more love than hate. You know, more forgiveness. And then after the 2 years of the Mueller investigation, the impeachment, oh, Mr. Trump, with Ukraine, oh, abuse of power, destruction of Congress. Oh, my God. So he got on the phone, he talked with the president. Yeah, he wanted the favor. He wanted to investigate Mr. Biden and his son. That's what presidents do. Maybe not impeachment. Maybe, what do they call it? Begins with a C. We're going to see, I forget. In other words, not as serious as an impeachment. And so anyway, after the impeachment, does anybody out there blame Mr. Trump for being a little bit angry about, I mean, just put aside the idea of maybe he's guilty or not. Assume that he's innocent, okay? Unless you're just, you know, a one-party person with a closed mind, not even thinking. Kind of reminds me of prejudice, you know, being prejudiced. And with the Black Lives Matter movement going on today, you know, I think we owe the black people in the country and around the world some time out to consider just how badly they've been treated in our past. Not only the slavery, but afterwards. So I saw a movie yesterday called 24, the 24th Infantry in World War I. Oh, my God. That was like 50 years after the end of the Civil War. Black people were treated, I mean, besides being segregated, you know, like not even going to the same restroom, hello, as white people, not able to sit in the same area of a bus as white people, or a train, or a streetcar, not able to go into a restaurant, no colored people or dogs allowed, signs. And this was like not too long ago, you know, certainly 50, 75 years, 100 years after the Civil War, So I was doing some thinking, why is it that way? Why are people like that? It's tradition, you know, it's ancestry in our blood, in our cells. You know, back then, I, to tell you the truth, my wife and I were watching that movie last night. Her sister had seen it and said it was a good movie. So I saw how they mistreated black people. I was like, man, in the end, I don't want to ruin the movie for anybody if you want to watch it, but in the end, this probably would have been on a trailer. You know, the 13 of the 24th Infantry Division black guys, they get hung for their crimes. They thought they were being attacked by an angry white mob, so they got their rifles and they went to the town. And the police force were corrupt. They were bigoted, prejudiced, discriminatory, all that. So then there was a couple of really nasty men that were just mistreating black people. You know what? I thought also some of these white people that have mistreated black people, they usually do it when there's some other white people standing by watching them. They wouldn't do it on their own, you know, because one-on-one usually between a white guy and a black guy, I mean, you look at all heavyweight champions in the past, you know, boxing, for one sport alone, you know, the black people seem to be a superior race. You know, they're stronger, faster, right? With football, you know, logical. Am I right or am I right? Baseball, they can run faster, they're stronger, they're superior in that way. But the way they were treated, I was like, in the end, there was one guy, I was saying, you know, I had to go back and shoot that guy. And that was kind of goes against my grain, because I would usually never say something like that, but I was just so impressed by that movie. It made such an impression on me. I was, can't believe that happened in our past. How could they treat black people that way? But then I know the answer to that same question. It is because we're evolving as a human race, and the process of evolvement is very slow. It takes many, many hundreds and thousands of years. We've come a long way. When we start out, you know, there's not a lot of money, not a lot of technology. You see the way things were even back in the days, even before the industrial age. They almost just invented the wheel, you know, as far as the big picture of time is concerned. And so they were selling people. People were being sold for money. And that was a way to make money. Slaves, black slaves working plantations were sold for $700-$800. So I was saying to my wife, you know, if I was Superman, hypothetical situation, I'd go back in time. And I'd go back and I'd wipe out all those plantation owners. But you know what? After that, then the black people would be in charge and they'd probably start enslaving the white people. So it'd be the other way around. But that's just my opinion. As far as the Democratic National Campaign, well, and next week we have the Republican National Campaign. So I heard just about everything everybody had to say. I missed some parts of it because we had to go out, walk the dogs, and I had to take a nap. Couldn't see everything. I didn't see Hillary Clinton. I saw Bill Clinton. I saw AOC. She only had 1 minute. Very pretty young woman, you know, very intelligent too. And lots of other people, Andrew Yang. And to me, it's like a game, you know. Some people, and I was mentioning to my son, mentioning to you about my son, he doesn't want to vote. And a lot of people are turned off by this whole situation. You know, the competition is like a game. You're not there. And CNN is basically Democratic, Fox, Republican, you know. The competition, it goes on. I just wonder, you tell me, please, is this a healthy competition? Is this really where we need to head as Americans to make our country a better place for all people, everyday people, real people out there? I don't know. I think there's better ways we could do things. I think there's more love that we can show each other. We can pray for each other. I want to hear some more prayers, more references to God. I hardly even hear anybody say anything about God last week. It's very rare, my friend, very rare out there when you hear them talk about God, the creator of their soul and spirits. And that, to me, is illogical. But it just reinforces to me that some people are young souls in the early stages of the evolution, maybe not too many past lives behind their belts, you know. And that's a thought, you know. Imagine, if you will, a past life that you might have had on a planet in the Milky Way galaxy or another galaxy. Imagine, if you will, after you pass away from this existence, like we all will someday, right? Unless you think you're invincible. And I've seen some people do think they're invincible and they're never going to die. Now, some of the old people of the Bible, some of those patriarchs, you know, Noah, Abraham, you know, I heard they lived to be 700 years old. How would you like to live to be 700 years old? Wouldn't that be awesome? No? not with all this bitterness and fighting going on, right? But we can help make the world a better place. So we need to unite rather than divide. Don't leave it up to the politicians, my friends out there listening. You can make a difference by praying for people, praying. You want to receive excellent news every second? Pray for people. Praise people. I challenge you. Praise people. Like, take Doug, for example, who runs with Brother Don, BBS Radio. Now, there are a couple of outstanding young men, just brilliant, ambitious, very kind, polite, real human beings, lots of love. They have show a lot of love to their customers, you know, just outstanding, brilliant people. So there is, and I meant every word, but we need to open our mouths and say more of that to other people. So let me give you, now the sun's coming down, I'm in my patio, and I'm going to make a shift here because the sun is going to shine on me. So I'm going to lift up and go over to my standing workstation where I work during the week. But when I type, I like to type standing up. You know, after having done it for many, many years, my friends, since 1989 when I was in the Army, I began working databases, if you can believe that. I reclassified in 1986. I'd been with the infantry, mortars, for 4 years. That's when I joined the Army. I just went over 38 years when I graduated from basic and AIT in Fort Benning, Georgia, August the 20th, 1982. And then 4 years later, in 1986, I went to Fort Jackson to reclassify to administrative specialist, and that's typing. So I've been using a stand workstation for about 3 years now, and it's the only way to go for me. I've had more energy, but it works for me. I don't know about for you. Anyway, so praise. Bill Clinton, let me just take him. You know, that he was, I saw him back in the 90s, you know, on television giving States of the Union. There was never a more smooth talker, a more smooth individual, a more brilliant, intelligent man than Bill Clinton. Well, I won't go into the details that you know all about, but he still is. He still is a brilliant man. It seems like sometimes people have a humility complex. They get too good. People tell them that they're so great, and they do things that knocks them down. You know, we're our own worst critics when it comes to getting on our cases. You know what I mean? Judging ourselves, we're really worse than anybody else at receiving criticism. We criticize ourselves too harshly, and we shouldn't do that, really, because we deserve to be pumped up more with that good stuff, because that's how you, remember the expression, I don't want to say too many good things about that person because they'll get a big head. Well, why not? A big head is a good thing, isn't it? That's growth, baby. You know, that's growth. Give me a big head. I'll take a big head. Yeah, say good things about me. I love to hear good things. He does a great job at work. He's a brilliant man. He works well with everybody. He is a tireless worker. He works extra hours. He helps people out. He is a quintessential public speaker. He is a fast runner. Did you see how fast he can run? Did you see how coordinated he is? There's so many things we can praise each other with. AOC, I was talking about her. Well, she probably didn't want to hear that she's a pretty woman. She knows it, you know. She wants to be known for her mind, and understandably so. So do most women, you know. That's one problem they've had in the past. appreciate me for my mind, not my body. Okay, well, I will. I mean, yes. No disrespect intended. You know, there's that attraction, I guess, which makes a man say, oh, you look so pretty. But also, yeah, oh, my God, some women, and they are more intelligent. Really, biologically, they use their brains more effectively than men. Because why? Because they can breathe better. Their chests, their lungs, because of their breasts, I think, in my own opinion, they can breathe more effectively. And so when they get more air in the body, then that supplies that oxygen to the blood and oxygenated blood to the brain, so they think more efficiently, more quickly than men do. But AOC, she is awesome, I think. Very ambitious. She's got her opinions, you know, the New Green Deal, about how we're in dire straits in the with climate change. And that's one thing, all you Republican voters out there, one thing you ought to consider very seriously is just how much Mr. Trump is taking climate change seriously. I mean, what he's saying about climate change. He doesn't believe in it. Now, I can't really tell you. I can't give you some facts and figures. I've heard that the polar ice caps are melting. And you know how the storms are getting bigger. Some of the forest fires like now are going on in California and have happened in the past. Droughts, in other words, places that are where they used to get a higher average annual amount of rainfall, no longer are getting the same amounts. Why? Because of the carbon monoxide going into the atmosphere, fossil fuels being burned. You know about the ozone layer. So I understand some people, they don't acknowledge logic because, well, we are all gods in the making and you like to do things your way. That's fine. Everybody wants to run the world, rule the world, right? Kind of like that song by Tears for Fears. Everybody wants to rule the world. Okay, well, logic, my friend. Logic will get us out of this situation. Logic is love, in my opinion. But, as I said, in all seriousness, it might be too late. The damage might already be irreversible when it comes to climate change. And it does, it's not like I don't think Mr. Trump is doing a lot of good things, and I acknowledge the good in him. I've seen the good in him. I like the man. I think he's hilarious sometimes. He makes me laugh. But he needs to be, you know, more concerned with other areas that are real. Man, we all know he spends a lot of time on the tweeter. Well, that's him, and that's okay. I can't judge him for that, but some people might, you know. I mean, it's a different way of doing things, that's for sure. But from now on, do me a favor. Let me challenge you. For every negative thing you say about somebody, say something positive. Can you do that? I'll try to do the same. I already do it. I hear people talking about people behind their backs, and I'm thinking to myself, I think, what would they do that if the person was here in front of them? Would they say that face-to-face? Would you? Or are you one of those people that don't have the courage to tell people what you think of them? I am guilty of judging people, you know, saying things behind their back. I tried that. I'm doing better than I did before, than I was before. Going back to AOC, I think she's awesome, you know. And let's just go straight to Joe Biden, you know. Go to the big guy himself. And the first thing that came to my mind is, well, here's a guy. He's had a very tragic past, you know. His wife, former wife and daughter, I think, got killed in a car accident, and his son, Bo, died of cancer back in 2015. And the guy, he's a brilliant man. You know, he He works across the aisle. He did with John McCain. They used to hash out their problems together, and they would do it with a sense of humor. You know, that's the kind of attitude we need in the House and the Senate, my friends. People who have the courage, the intestinal fortitude, the intelligence to make it happen, to work across the aisle, to resolve our differences diplomatically. Well, that's one good thing I could say about the Congress and the Senate. You don't see too many people getting into fistfights in the Congress, you know, but just other countries have done that, do that sometimes. So they're pretty much able to resolve their differences diplomatically, but some of them are stubborn. You know, they stay along party lines, whether or not something makes any sense. You know, they turn their heads away from logic and reason. That's what I've seen. And they shouldn't. Especially when the will of the people, American people, with the Constitution says, we the people is what's more important. The welfare of the people is more important than the competition going on between the Republicans and Democrats. So how do we fix that? Well, like I said, I need to challenge you out there listening to be a uniter, because if they're trying. I can see that. You know, they're talking about it. They're giving that lip service. We need to be united. Mr. Trump is dividing us. Well, as I mentioned, he's kind of angry at the Democrats for what they did to him, you know. That's understandable. Hello. And now they're saying, okay, well, they kind of pushed him over the edge, and now they're saying, well, he's being very divisive. I do agree that some of the rhetoric is divisive, but, you know, it's understandable. But let's take good things about people. Back to, and I will, Mr. Trump, you know, I like him. I see him on television. I like everybody. I like you out there listening to my show. Thank you. And that's the way to be. And so, you know, I mentioned praise, but also praying for people. You got to be a prayer. You got to be a praying people out there. You just got to. You got to believe in God, first of all. I mean, how can you as an American not believe in the Creator? You know, I've told you this before. I'll say it again. In fact, I like saying it on every show. You consider all the life here on Earth. There's over a million types of insects, 30,000 types of fish, 10,000 types of birds, 10,000 types of reptiles, 9,000 types of amphibians, 5,000, 6,000 types of mammals, all the thousands and thousands of types of flowers and trees and fruits and vegetables. If all of that happened by accident, logically, reasonably, it could happen by accident elsewhere in the universe. You see, the universe is teeming with life. There, by logic, I have just made it happen. We don't need NASA to go and sink a probe underneath the ice on the surface of Europa, one of Jupiter's moons, down underneath the ice into an ocean, they say, that exists there, down to the bottom of the ocean, 60 miles down to where there might be hydrothermal vents to determine whether or not there's life, because here on Earth, that's usually where you'll find life, is next to a hydrothermal vent. We don't need that. I've just proven by logic, if all of this happened by accident here on Earth, all this life. Oh, come on. Go take a look out there. I can see my lawn right now. There's all kinds of butterflies and dragonflies flying around, grasshoppers, praying mantises. There's ants on the ground. There's flies flying around, house flies, all kinds of insects. If all of that happened by accident, you know, by accident, something, some freak accident of nature where it made these little bodies that have eyes and wings and metabolisms and reproductive systems. Oh, yeah, that happened by accident for sure. Yeah, I mean, you just graduate from fifth grade or kindergarten. Maybe that's more like, I'm sorry, didn't mean to offend you. You're so sensitive. But if there is a creator who had the power, the omnipotence, and the omniscience, the knowledge to create all this life here on Earth, isn't it not logical and reasonable to think that that creator would have the power and the knowledge to create either the same life or different life, maybe elsewhere, anywhere in the universe? Yes, that is logical. So welcome to the universe teeming with life. Blake will be in the show, Spirits of the Universe, is just proving that you don't need NASA to prove it for you. You have to bridge the gap between belief and knowledge, my friends. And I think there's some ETs probably out there listening to my show. They love my show. I know they listen. Out there, I've seen them. I watch the Ancient Aliens show. How many watch Ancient Aliens on the History Channel? That is awesome. I was watching it this afternoon. People see these flying saucers. Some people have worked on military installations where they have nuclear weapons, you know, in the silos. These spaceships, flying saucers, have come by to check them out, you know, and sometimes render them inoperable by using electromagnetic capabilities. I'm not sure how. But some guys that have worked in the military have seen these, and, you know, like one guy, he was talking today. It happened to him 30 years ago, and he said, the emotions are still raw from that night when I saw this flying saucer directly overhead, like 100, 200 feet above him, just sitting there motionless, you know, with light all around it, with green and blue lights swirling around in the middle in a circular fashion. And then it zipped away, you know, at like the speed of light, and disappeared after like 2 or 3 minutes. And so they're out there. In fact, I'm going to tell you something that might shake your world, but don't take it too seriously. It may or may not be true because it came from me. You know, you could, usually the things I tell you are, I wouldn't lie to you. I want to tell you the truth of matters. So let me explain, let me lead up to what I'm going to say to you, okay? You ready for this? There was a near-death experience by a man named Lou Famoso. Check it out. F-A-M-O-S-O. Lou Famoso was a Vietnam veteran who came back from Vietnam. I think he was with the Navy, actually. He served 2 tours off the coast of Vietnam, if I'm not mistaken. You know, that was like the Bay of Tonkin time around then, if I'm not mistaken. So he comes back to the States, buys himself a brand new Mustang, you know, with all that money that he saved up, being deployed for 2 years. And he's going to a party. Yeah, it's a Saturday night. He's going down the road in his brand new Mustang. Hits 100 miles an hour. If you know anything about those earlier Mustangs, you know, with the engines, once they get going to high speeds, they become very unstable in the front. And sure enough, going down a country road 100 miles an hour, he lost control, flipped end over end several times. Car caught on fire. He was thrown from the car. He wasn't wearing a seatbelt. Didn't have seatbelts back then, I think. So, and then some friends that were going to the same party came by and they saw the accident and picked him up. He sent him to the hospital. Well, to make a long story short, he had a near-death experience. He went to that land, the spirit land, my friends, where it looks so beautiful. The colors are so intense. And there's mountains and valleys and flowers and rivers. And it's just like here on Earth, but it is brighter and it's more beautiful, 10 times more beautiful. You can imagine that. So he saw these orbs of light floating around, and some of them materialized into people and things. It was almost like a white canvas being filled by a painter, you know, everything materializing. And then he saw a small golden orb of light coming towards him, and it grew, and it grew, and it got bigger. And this golden light was radiating this beautiful, brilliant, mind-blowing light emanating from it as it got closer, and it looked as big as a basketball and then a beach ball. And when it got in front of him, it materialized into this beautiful being of light, almost made of light. And he realized he was in the presence of God, the Creator. And the Creator said to him, "Man will prey on man," that is P-R-E-Y, "until man learns to pray," P-R-A-Y, "for man." So there you have it from the mouth of the Creator himself. We need to pray for each other. We got to pray for each other. Otherwise, we're going to eat each other up like this competition that's going on between the Republicans and Democrats, my friends. Be the uniter. I ask you, please, pray for people. Just a simple prayer, you know. God, please bless Joe Biden. He's a good man. God, please bless Mr. Trump. I think he's awesome. You know, if he were to die tomorrow, I would be so upset because I love him, you know, or anybody. If I die tomorrow, I'm just saying, and you know what it's like. We've seen it before. You know, I don't want to speak any negativity, but my point is people, they're here one day and gone the next, so you have to be careful what you think and what you say about people. Respect people for the life in them, if anything, okay? That's the point I'm making. I'm not wishing anything bad about Mr. Trump or anyone else. Mr. Biden, nobody else, no politician. I love them all. But just a simple prayer. Now, back to Lou Formoso in heaven. So God was there in front of him. And then the next thing you know, Lou Formoso looks to the right of God, and there is Archangel Michael, Archangel Gabriel, and Archangel Lucifer. And he said, "Oh my God, these angels are so, so beautiful." And the Creator looks at him and says, "Which one of these angels do you want to go with? They will show you around the universe." So he looked at Archangel Michael, "Oh, this is so beautiful, strong, you know, with a sword, I believe." And Gabriel, of course, we know about Gabriel, all his involvement in our past. And Archangel Lucifer, in charge of the demons and hell, God's jail. Yes, created by God. Don't forget, God is omnipotent. And if God wanted to, God could destroy the devil. The devil does not have equal power to God. So you logically, you have to agree that God created the devil and the devil works for God. But really, the devil is none other than Archangel Lucifer. Let me close the door. Hold on. Anyway, with Lou Formoso, he chose Archangel Michael. He said, "Archangel Lucifer, he was very beautiful, but his eyes were piercing." So Archangel Michael gave Lou Formoso a tour around the universe. And one thing he saw, and Archangel Michael told him, there are two asteroids coming towards Earth. Two huge asteroids. Twin asteroids coming towards Earth. I don't know how far away they are, but they're bound for Earth. And I think we might know that in our souls, that that might be the way this is all going to end. With all the wars that we've had in our past, the killing, World War I, World War II, I mean, millions of people killed. But that's not the reason why I think this is going to happen. We knew that we were going to be in the end times. You've heard about the end times, the coming of Jesus. Is it irreversible? I don't know. this set in stone? I don't know. It's possible that it could be averted, I think. This pandemic might be a way to prepare us. You know what? It might be, in essence, a way of preparing us for this final end, which is coming. It could happen in 2022, 23, I don't know. Our scientists and astronomers, they haven't seen it. But then you know that their powers of observing the universe are limited. I mean, it could be two or three solar systems away from Earth. But why was Luca Moser shown this? Well, so other people could read about it afterwards. It's up to you whether or not you want to believe it. Well, let's just assume that it is real. Take it for granted. How will this impact us? Okay, well, that's a good word, impact, because if that day does come, and you know it has happened before in the past, they say the dinosaurs were wiped out by an asteroid and broken to pieces from what I've heard, what I've read, all those thousands of years ago. And a major chunk of it landed off the coast of the Yucatan Peninsula. And really, they say, and I'm going by memory here, it doesn't take that big of an asteroid to stop the Earth after it makes impact, to stop the Earth from rotating on its axis. And maybe a quarter mile, half a mile in diameter. Now, I don't know how big are these twin asteroids approaching Earth, but I think they're big. One of them could be 60 miles in diameter, you know, which is really nothing compared to the size of a moon or a planet, you know, but still, a quarter mile in diameter asteroid that impacts the Earth going at 40,000 miles an hour can create a lot of damage. But one that's 50 miles in diameter, imagine that, it would just block out the entire sky wherever you are. Traveling at 40,000 miles an hour would stop the Earth rotating on its axis for sure. Once that happens, then earthquakes break out everywhere. Volcanoes are exploding all over the planet, spewing ashes into the atmosphere. The sun's blocked out. Storms form as a result, with wind speeds in excess of 300-400 miles an hour. Suffice it to say, it's very difficult to survive in that kind of environment. But that might, that's what I read, my friends. That might be true. But we shouldn't be too down about it, right? If it's going to happen, it's going to happen. Not much we can do unless we can launch some nuclear weapons into space and try to break it up before it impacts, but that's never been done before, and it wouldn't be reliable. You know, you've seen the movies Armageddon with Bruce Willis, similar situation, you know, in that movie. But we wouldn't be the only ones trying to stop it. You know, the Russians, anyone who has nuclear weapons would be launching them into outer space. It would be a very hellacious time, you know, for sure. Some might re-enter the atmosphere and wind up exploding on the Earth, you know. Well, I kind of went off on a tangent about that, and I hope I didn't disturb you too much, but consider that a possibility. That's what I read, and that's what I relate to you. But tomorrow's another day. You know, in the meantime, while we're here, enjoy the ride. Let's enjoy the ride. And we go back to praise and praying for each other. That's why also it's important to pray for each other. Remember what God said to Lou Famoso. He said, man will pray on man until man learns to pray for man. Maybe if we pray for each other, we can stop that from happening. How would you like that? Does that bite you up a little bit? We can, I believe, my friends, that the end times are not written in stone. You know, all this biblical revelation, the predictions in the Bible about the end times, the Armageddon, I don't think it has to be. I don't think our future is written in stone. We can change. Remember that movie, The Day the Earth Stood Still? The last time it was remade, the original was made in the 50s, but Keanu Reeves was the actor. I think it came out in 2008. So the woman said, you know, they were going to destroy the whole earth. And she said, we can change. You know, we've changed before in the past, you know, during these times when we all pulled together, you know, like when 9/11 happened, God forbid something like that would happen again. But the point is how people pulled together, you know, come together. If there was some alien invasion, which wouldn't happen, you know, take it from me. Well, I don't know. There are some, as I mentioned in the previous show, there are a race of extraterrestrials that go around the universe and they do destroy it, but we've got so many friends out there, so many extraterrestrials who have a vested interest in the evolution of our planet and love our planet for the beautiful world it is. It's a jewel of the universe with all the diversity of life. But in that movie, so we can change. Please give us another chance. You see how we can change with people. There is love. People have love. So I ask you, my friends, show your love to people. You know, we might be in the end times, we might not. But take it as if we can change things, that our future isn't written in stone, regardless of what the Bible says, right? The Bible does say that there will be an Armageddon one day, and nations will rise up against each other. And it doesn't have to be that way. No, I disagree with that, and I'm entitled to my opinion. We can't love. We can't forgive. Some people are not loving, and they're unforgiving. That's just their nature. They won't think outside the box. They won't be loving, and they'll pay for it on Judgment Day when they could have helped make the world a better place and maybe change our future. They didn't do that because they believed in an illogical and irrational mindset created a couple thousand years ago by men who had no vision of the future themselves, only speculated, and the details are very slim when explaining about what would happen. So John in Revelation has all these dreams, and they're written down, and who knows how many times translated, interpreted, and you're going to believe what he said? That is not logical to me. And I think that our future is not written in stone. We can change by praying for people. You heard it. If you believe in Lupo Moso and in his near-death experience, that car he was in flipped several times end over end, caught on fire, and he was thrown, he had a gaping head wound. He was taken to the hospital, and he barely survived. If you believe in that, then you believe in his near-death experience, and you believe that God actually spoke to him and told him that man will pray, P-R-E-Y, on man, until man learns to pray, P-R-A-Y, for man. I challenge you to pray for your fellow man. You know that's the right thing to do. If you don't, you will answer for it on Judgment Day. I'm sorry. That's just the way I believe. We all will. If you had an opportunity to make the world a better place, I can hear right now in my ears the remorse, the regret of people having passed away over to the other side, things they could have done differently when they had the chance to here on Earth. They let that chance slip them by because of a mindset, a traditional mindset, that didn't stand the logic of reason, that didn't withstand the scrutiny of rationalizing, using one's intelligence to its full capability, thinking outside the box, being creative with your words. So, I only have a few minutes left, my friends. Let me just say about the Democratic National Campaign, go back to that. There's a lot of beautiful people out there. I love them. I saw them all on television. But tomorrow, next week, I mean, you're going to see the Republican National Campaign. You're going to see the other 50 million Americans out there that voted like for Mr. Trump in 2016 saying the exact opposite of what Democrats said. So who's right? The thing is, we need to unite. We do. And if they're not going to do it for us, we need to do it. We need to be our own God. We will make it happen by the words we use and the thoughts we think. Okay, they're going to say a lot of great things this week, but I want to hear what I'd like to hear is more references to God. I'd like to hear more about love. I want to like to hear more about prayer for each other, caring for each other. Think of our founding fathers and their vision for America. They didn't want all this divisiveness, this bitter competition that's going on between the Republicans and Democrats. It's like a game. You know, it's like, who are you going to vote for, the Lakers or the, who they play, the Grizzlies, the Milwaukee Bucks or the Atlanta Magic? It's like a game. It shouldn't be a game. What's at stake here? The lives of the people. We the people. Like the Constitution said, our founding fathers had a vision of an America where we could all live in harmony and not be divided by divisive, bitter politics. That's where the division is between the Republicans and Democrats. You can't blame one or the other. It's between the two. You can't say Mr. Trump's responsible for the divisiveness when you are criticizing him for being divisive. You could say something better than that. You say, Mr. Trump, instead, I understand you're angry. You withstood, you wanted to do good things for America. Yes, maybe you have a little arrogant attitude. Maybe you did treat women bad, but I understand that they blamed you with the Russian collusion. And it could be a hoax. I'm not sure. I don't know. And then you were impeached because maybe abusing your power. But I don't know about that because it didn't seem abusive to me. You know, it's a matter of opinion. So I understand why you're angry. And then you better know all of a sudden the pandemic hit and things are like gone out of control. Your economy that was so great now was knocked down. It makes me wonder, like, maybe there's somebody behind us. They say that the pandemic originated in the Chinese lab, but I'm going to blame the Chinese because they're good people. You got to love them too, right? You got to pray, God, please bless the Chinese people, the Chinese president. Very simple prayers, my friends. Think about God, the creator. Of course, you know, I believe in Mother and Father God. And heaven is the sun. It's out there. And you know what it is. In your soul, in the depths of your soul, in your spirit, you know that as a spirit, you're made of light, light energy, from billions of electrons. That's the, we are spirit in the material world. Yeah. Don't be afraid. Don't be frightened. Have courage. This is the home of the brave. So stand up. Do the right thing. Unite. We can't have our leaders unite us. We have to help them. They need our help to unite America. Democrats on one side, Republicans on the other. It's not a game. We need, our lives are at stake. Our futures are at stake. Future generations of children, this pandemic will go on unless we stop the hate. Love trumps hate. We need to love. And I'll continue to talk about this on my next show. I don't think I have much more time. So love, pray. Pray for people. All those good people from the Democrats and the Republicans, both. Pray for them both. Pray for Mr. Putin. Mr. Putin, God, please bless Mr. Putin. I think he's a wonderful man. He does things differently because Russia is a different culture. And I'm not saying that's the right way of doing things, but we have to understand where he comes from. And from what I've seen, he's happy. I mean, I've seen him smile, laugh. And I want to be friends with Russia. I don't want to leave him out anymore. I don't want to be enemies with anyone. I want to love people. I don't want to be enemies because that's the future of being enemies is mutual destruction. We don't want that. We want to prepare our future for our children and their children. We want to get along with everybody. Remember what Rodney King says, we need to get along. Why can't we just get along? We can bury the hatchet with the Russians, with the Chinese. We can come together. We've done some great things, made some great strides with capitalism, if you want to call it that, you know. The Chinese culture now has incorporated a lot of America's culture also, you know. McDonald's, you see a lot of McDonald's, for example, there in China. So we can do it. We just need a little help. A little help from my friends, that song by Joe Cocker. We're going to get by with a little help from our friends. And so I would say this to Democrats and the Republicans, anyone out there listening to me now, at this time, now, let's unite. They're going to talk about, you heard the Democrats talk about divisiveness from Mr. Trump and the Republicans. But you got to understand that over 50 million people voted for Mr. Trump.
30 seconds.
Got it. So we need to come together. Millions of people, love, pray for each other, please. Okay? And my prayer right now, take us out, is that Mother and Father God, please bless us, everyone. Protect us. Help get rid of this virus. Help us to love each other and pray for each other. And that's it, my friends. I'll see you, talk to you next time, next week. Take care. Bye-bye.